Kino zu Hause, der DocFest München Podcast. Filmgespräche des Internationalen Dokumentarfilmfestivals München.
Herzlich willkommen zum 38. DocFest München in unserer zweiten dualen Edition, von wo auch immer Sie uns gerade zusehen oder zuhören. Mein Name ist Isabelle Fontoux und ich bin Teil des Programmerteams beim DocFest. Und ich freue mich sehr, Ihnen heute den Film Pianoforte bzw. ein Gespräch dazu mit dem Direktor Jakub Piatek zu präsentieren. Hello and welcome to the 38th DocFest Munich in its second dual edition from wherever you are listening or viewing. My name is Isabelle Fontoux and I'm a member of the program selection team and I'm very proud that we screen the film Pianoforte by director Jakub Piatek in our doc music section. This film is a German-Polish co-production and it premiered at Sundance Film Festival and we have a German premiere on our festival. Hello and welcome, Jakub Piatek.
Hello, hi.
First question I had when I viewed your film was, how did you get in touch with the protagonists beforehand?
We produced the film with like some kind of like exclusivity on side of the organizers of the competitions, Chopin Institute. And they are also like a co-producer of the film. And we asked, before the competition, there is like a preliminary stage. It was a couple of months before. And that's 160 pianists competing for that 80 something seats in the competition. So we asked all of them to self-record just answers for a couple of questions, like really short, and that's how I could like, you know, meet them all in a way. And they did it in, it was during the COVID, so they did it in their rooms, in their homes. So that's also like you're gathering information from the background as well and everything. And and then I asked the 40 or 50 of them for longer conversation online. And then during the preliminary, which was like 12 days, we had like our small crew, so we could like be with some of them for a half of day, a day, just see the reaction, and then we choose the protagonist before the competition. So it was like also kind of a bet against the competition itself, because mm-hmm. we just used like, you know, this personal feelings and just maybe the themes that that are in the storylines of those people that resonated with us personally. And we also like we talked with organizers and they didn't know who we are following, just not to, you know, spoil or jinx anyhow the competition itself, you know, that okay, that those guys with a camera are like, you know, following that person, so it's this person is more important than the others. So like we had like a, you know, a lot of freedom in terms of choosing our protagonists. But also there was like a cons of this situation, which was we could like find ourselves on the spot that after the first stage we don't have protagonists at all, and we are just filming the scenes on the airport and they are leaving Warsaw. So happily it didn't happen.
But what would have happened if everyone left after first round? Would you still have continued shooting? Or
yeah, I think so. Yeah. But it was a risk. I remember the night like really clearly, like waiting for the results of the first round, we had like three crews with different protagonists waiting for the results, and I was like just my hair was going gray when I was hearing like the names and like checking with myself if I have someone left in the competition. But we were I remember using like the basic math for this project, and we were supposed to have 1.5 protagonists in the final, like, but we have like a little bit more.
Yes.
So yeah,
you were lucky.
Yeah. It's just like maybe I think like intuition is pretty important in filmmaking. So yeah, and gut feelings.
And how did you gain the confidence of the protagonist? Because I think it's they are very under adrenaline, and it's very really a hard competition. So maybe they are afraid of being followed by a camera, or wasn't it the case? Because you managed to gain their confidence.
Yeah, it was like you know, when I talked like during the research with them, you know, that back then there were people who were like, for example, telling me that, okay, I'm not gonna let you inside the practice room. So I knew that it's not a person for us in a way. And because we started shooting the film before the competition started, we had like, you know, we had the time to grab a lunch together. We already knew families, teachers, so like we were bonding before, and during the competition it's like 21 days when they are in Warsaw, and it's kind of like a hostage situation because like competition is kind of a hostile environment per se, but so it also like triggers, you know, bonding and like building up relationships are growing faster in a way because of this hostage situation. So, and you know, we were spending with them like, you know, 10, 12 hours per day. So, it helped, but we also like, had this agreement, and there is a scene in a film when Michelle is saying like, okay, now you guys, I want you to leave the room. So we had like this we called it a ninja mode. So we cannot like do sounds, you know, and we need to be empathic towards our protagonist, because like them being on stage is priority for everyone, their performance as well. But I remember also like, for example, there was like towards the final, before the final, there was I asked Eva Gevorgian that maybe we should leave right now, and she wants to be alone, and she said like, no guys, I want you to be with me till the end, till I will get into the stage. I really need you here with me. And so it was like all of them acted a little bit differently, but I think like those things helped.
So you were just like their companions, maybe, or the people they could really trust, and so that it gave them a little bit of confidence in the very difficult situation, and especially the scene with Eva, where she really is. You see that she's not feeling well, and you're very, very close to her, and we really feel her feelings, and this is really, really impressive, I think. I think in the montage you managed to get us, the audience, so close to the protagonists. And how did you manage to do this? It's not only a documentary about a competition, it's about people who endure this competition and what it means to be inside.
I was always thinking about this film that it's kind of like a coming of age, that we can use the frame of the competition as a, you know, like, and I think it's kind of like universal at some level. I'm not a pianist, I'm not a musician, but And I think, but I think also like the audience can relate to like, you know, to having like this kind of a test in life that you are like, you are wishing for something big, for example, and you are like checking, it's like a reality check for you. And that's the moment that you are like becoming more mature in a way, because they are super young. So that's, for example, why we use like all the different music in the film. That it's like a music that like it's connected more like, you know, suburbs in the States and like this kind of like a coming of age story. I remember at during the research, I watched like all the film archives, so from late 40s, the material, and there is like a competition. So like every 5 years, there is like a lot of footage in film archives in Warsaw, and all of them was kind of done in the same manner. In a way that camera was always there at the very beginning and closer to the end, just waiting for the winner. Mm-hmm. And they were always using like long lenses. And, you know, like just, I remember once like Alexander Gadzhiev, one of our protagonists, like said to me that people think that they are some kind of like magical creatures, the concert pianists, like unicorns, you mm-hmm. know, jumping from one continent to another and like creating sound. Mm-hmm. And it was like, so all the archives was like that in a way. And what we wanted to like to do with our approach was to use, for example, like standard lenses, or wider lenses to be close to them. Mm-hmm. And to be close also in sound, you know, to like to hear them breathing almost. That was our approach, like more human side than music side, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And this, you managed this really well, I think. And let's talk about the music you used, because it's really unusual that you, how would you describe it? Maybe, I don't know, rock music, or you call it suburb music. When came this decision to use this music?
It came like pretty early. One of the songs we used, for example, during the pitching in a trailer. So it was with us like almost from the beginning of making this film. And because that's the music that was with me during like my coming into adulthood, mm-hmm. in a way. Mm-hmm. That was the decision. And I kind of like, you know, you can hear like Arcade Fire or Tame Impala in the film, and they're like huge like indie rock stars in a way. And there is this, you know, this wish that maybe this concert pianist playing, you know, classical music, Chopin music, could be like a rock stars. Mm-hmm. And maybe they were in, you know, 60s mm-hmm. Or 50s. Right now it's more a niche. So yeah, that was like this kind of a game in our heads.
And this makes it maybe more adaptable for a younger audience as well, because they are so young. The pianists are really young people, and often the audience is older than them. And maybe this is what could be attractive for a younger audience. And this makes it really interesting for your film, I think. Mm. And what is really intriguing for me is, how did you manage to coordinate all the shooting teams, for once in the different countries? Because because of the pandemics, you couldn't be with them, and also mm-hmm. during the competition shooting.
Mm-hmm. So we could travel easily around the Europe, we couldn't go to China because back then it was like 21 days of quarantine going in and 10 days going out. So it was like a month of quarantine. And I couldn't, they didn't let us in Russia, in Moscow. So But because I graduated from the film school, that half of the directing year is coming from abroad. So you know, like graduating the film school, you've got like already like this nice network around the world. Mm-hmm. So I could like easily reach out to a friend, a DP in China or in Russia, and ask for help. And we shared the footage that we already gathered, so it could be like contained. And we watched like the dailies every day, and it was like pretty open process with protagonists as well. So we could, you know, kind of like schedule a day, a shooting day, because we didn't have like that much of a shooting days. So, you know, okay, let's focus on a practice time, and then having lunch with your family, and then maybe you will go out with some friends, and then maybe, you know, a rope jumping. So this was, for example, one day, one shooting day in Guangzhou with Hao. And I remember there was like one specific day that, or 2 days, it was like a nightmare, because we were shooting in Italy. And at the very same time, there was shooting in China, in Japan, and in Russia. And because of time difference, we couldn't sleep with Philip, with DP, because we watched the dailies and we talked with other crews as well, and running like, okay, we need to do this and that. And then we were going to like 2 hour shooting. So it was like this 2 days, it was like a logistic nightmare in a way. And during the competition, there was three teams working with different protagonists. And what we did beforehand, sound people and people like doing the sound on set, and also cinematographers already knew protagonists before the competition. So like there was already like established relation beforehand. Some of DPs even visited them in Italy, for example, or in Poland. So they knew each other, and I could like, you know, jump from one crew to another. And because it was like really contained, because it's like Philharmonic Hall and University of Music, and it's like, it's a 10 minutes walking distance. So I could like, you know, jump from one crew to another, and just like trying to be present like during like this intense moments, or you know, that we kind of predicted it will be important.
Because you knew the schedule, and then you knew which protagonist would have the presentation when, and then you could extract the important moments maybe where you have to be with someone.
And some of the protagonists were like, you know, you could like more easily witness like those moments with them as a fly on the wall, like just the observation. So for example, Eva and Hal, so it was like just talking with a DP, and some of the protagonists like Michelle, Alex, Martin, they like needed more of my presence because they were like talking with me all the time. So and it was like just a part of those storylines that they are like, you know, that we are not hiding, that we are not there, and they are talking to us. So that those with those people, I spent more time, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I always went to the airports to say goodbyes.
So this is where the airport scene emerged, where you see the piano, the white piano, and you're at the airport. Okay. And And yourself, do you learn, and do you started learning the piano after the film?
I started to learn reading the notes. Because I was, before this film happened, I already, as a, you know, freelance filmmaker, I was cooperating with Chopin Institute, or, you know, like music labels. I was just, you know, preparing like small documentaries or teasers for concerts, or making of recordings. That's how I got interested into this world. Because, for example, when you are, I remember being, I was with a camera during the rehearsal of Marta Argerich concert. So it's a winner of a Chopin competition from 65, I think, like a huge Argentinian star right now, living in Switzerland. And I remember like that she's like coming to the stage, and I was asking myself like, okay, like what kind of road is behind her? Like what happened before that she's like right here and everyone is waiting for her, and it's like sold out concerts like, you know, half a year beforehand. That's how it all kind of started in a way.
Okay.
And after this film, my editor, as a Christmas gift, I gave her electronic piano, and she started to play music.
Oh, great. Yeah. So this film has impact in many ways, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Jakub, for this very, very impressive film, I think, and for our conversation as well. Dear audience, I want to remind you, please don't forget the audience award. You can vote online or in the cinemas as well, and you will find everything you need to know on the homepage of DocFest. So thank you very much, Jakub, and good luck for your next project.
Okay, thank you for having us, and yeah, it's a pleasure.
Bye-bye.